Today, we begin the second week of Advent, a week in which we anticipate and prepare for the arrival of the best gift of the world, the gift through love. In the South, you can always tell when the anticipation of Christmas is in the air. The state, the cities, towns, they began preparing by putting up the decorations and the nativity scenes. In small towns, there's a nativity scene on the county court grounds or on the town square, along with wreaths in the shapes of candles and angels blowing their horns and stockings filled with wrapped gifts hanging on every pole on Main Street. They even hang a wreath with a red bow around on every stoplight, on one or the two stoplights in town. And when you blow through the red light around the one or two stoplights, it dawns on you as you look over to your passenger whose white-knuckled hands are clinging to the door and has a deer in headlight look that the big red light in the center of the wreath was not part of the decorations. All this anticipation and preparation reminds me of a story, and you know I have to have a story. In a small southern town, there was a nativity scene that showed great skill and talent had been put in creating this magnificent creation. And it was erected on the town square. But one small feature bothered an out-of-town visitor who was admiring this great beauty. The three wise men were wearing firemen's helmets. Totally unable to come up with any reason or explanation, the visitor left. And as he was leaving the town, he stopped off at a quick stop on the edge of town. And he went in and he asked the lady behind the counter about the helmets. And she exploded in rage, yelling at him, "You darn city people never read your Bibles." The visitor, sort of in shock, assured the lady that he did read the Bible, but he just could not recollect any place where it talked about firemen in the Bible. So the lady jerked from under the counter her Bible, King James Bible, that is, only Bible in the South, you know, it's God's Bible. And she ruffled through some passages, finally, jabbing her finger at one, sticking it in the visitor's face, saying, "Here, read what it says." After reading it, the visitor stated that he still did not see where it talked about a fireman. Now the raging, angry lady yanked the Bible from under the visitor's face with the remark, "Apparently, you darn city people can't read neither. It clearly says, right here, three wise men came from afar." Southern dialect, you gotta love it, you know? You can tell I speak it, so I fully understand where she was coming from. All three readings today, we are told of preparation. In Malachi, we are told that a messenger is coming to prepare the way. In Paul's letter to Philippi, he tells us that his prayer is that our love will overflow more and more with knowledge and insight to help us understand the gift of Christ's love to each and every one of us, which in a way prepares us to show the way of Christ and his love to others. And in the gospel lesson, Luke tells us that a voice of one crying out in the wilderness instructs us to prepare the way of the Lord so we shall all see the salvation of God. Every Advent season, the Episcopal Church, along with some other denominations, light a 5-candle wreath. Each candle symbolizes a purpose for the season. We don't just light these candles because they look pretty. They have meaning. 3 of the candles are blue in color, with another candle being rose. And then the center candle being the white candle. The first candle that we lit last Sunday symbolizes the hope that we have in Christ. The candle that we will light today symbolizes love, the love that we have in Christ. The candle that we will light next Sunday symbolizes joy, the joy that we have in Christ, and that is the rose candle. The fourth candle, which we will light on the fourth Sunday of Advent, symbolizes the peace we have in Christ. This leaves the fifth candle, which is the white candle in the center of the wreath. And this candle is lit on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, which symbolizes the birth, arrival, and gift of salvation to eternity that we have in Christ. As I stated before, today we concentrate on preparation of Christ through his love. And I want us to look at Paul's letter to Philippi. How do we prepare the way of Christ to the world? Paul's answer was simple. We love. Through love, we prepare Christ's way to each other. So now we have to ask ourselves more specifically, how do we prepare the world for Christ through our individual love? And we do this by opening ourselves, our hearts, our minds, and our being to others. Even in the time of fear, even when the world seems topsy-turvy around us, even with all of the violence that's going on, even with the shootings that happened in California, we still have to open ourselves in love. Let me give you an example by telling you a story of a little boy named Randall Smiley. And if I become verklempt, be with me. Randall Smiley was placed in state care for adoption at birth. He lived in foster homes until the tender age of 3, almost 4. The foster family who Randall Smiley lived with from the age of 1 to 3, and as I said, almost 4, was not a family who showed emotional and physical love. Randall's foster father never hugged him, or played with him, or showed any signs of love to him. I dare say that if Randall had not been a part of their family, his foster father couldn't have cared less. Randall's foster mother believed in tough love. She, like his foster father, never held him or even hugged him. She would even taunt Randall when their biological younger son would come over to the house revving up his motorcycle, which scared Randall. There were many times when Randall Smiley would cry because he was afraid. His foster mother would whip him with a switch on his bare legs, leaving welts in order to get him to stop crying. Now Randall cried because he was afraid and in pain. All in all, it was not a home where Randall Smiley felt loved. A month prior to Randall's fourth birthday, he was placed into an adoptive home. It was a scary day for Randall. Upon entering his new home of a couple and their biological daughter, they had smiles and joy on their faces and in their eyes, but Randall Smiley only had sheer curtains of fearful tears in his. As the day progressed, Randall began to experience something that he had never experienced before, and he couldn't understand it. His adoptive mother would hold him. She would hug him. She would rock him to sleep at night, singing, "Oh, Johnny, oh, Johnny." And for those who remember the big band era, will remember that song. Part of the chorus reads as follows. I wish I could sing it, but y'all would head to the back door immediately. And it's, "Oh, Johnny, oh, Johnny, how you can love. Oh, Johnny, oh, Johnny, heavens above. You make my sad heart jump with joy. And when you're near, I just can't sit still a minute. I'm so, oh, Johnny, oh, Johnny, please tell me, dear, what makes me love you so?" There was a time when Randall Smiley's adoptive mother had to attend a meeting, and she had to leave him in the nursery, which scared Randall, and it caused him to cry. As she stood at the nursery door holding Randall, with him crying, he was waiting for the whippings to begin. But his adoptive mother did something totally unexpected to him. She handed him the keys to her car and told him to hold on to them. For when she returned, she was going to get him and take him home, and she'd need those keys. Randall Smiley hung on to his lifeline. When all the mothers came to pick up their children after the meeting, Randall looked for his new mom. And as she turned the corner, Randall spotted her and ran toward her. She stooped down and gave him a big hug and then asked if he still had the keys. Randall slowly opened his little hand. And inside were the keys. Imprinted in his palm was the embedded imprint of the key case. That's how tight he clung to his lifeline. Randall Smiley's new mom took the keys along with Randall's hand, and they went home. When Randall Smiley's adoptive father would come home after a long day's work, he and Randall would play wrestle on the floor. And then after supper, they would sit together and watch their favorite TV sitcoms. When Randall's new adoptive sister couldn't hardly wait to arrive home after school so she could see her new younger brother. The first Christmas in which Randall Smiley spent with his new family was a time of excitement. This new family decorated the house with tinsels and garlands. Christmas carols played throughout the home while Christmas cards were hung on the back of the living room closet door. The Christmas tree was bought, set up in the living room, and decorated. Randall's new family even let him help decorate the tree knowing that all of his ornaments would be down at the bottom. This was the year that the family discovered that Randall was allergic to live Christmas trees when he became a mouth breather. On Christmas Day, Randall smiley awoke before the sun was up. The moon still had its glow. He woke up his new, still sleeping family, for he was so excited. And as Randall entered the living room, he noticed a special gift under the tree, a gift that he had not seen before, a gift that was not wrapped because of its size. For under the tree was a navy blue pedal car with a hood ornament. Remember when certain models had hood ornaments back then? Those were the days. Randall Smiley was now just like his new Uncle Joe, for now he had a navy blue car with a hood ornament too. That Christmas day, I, Randall Smiley, now a journalist, learned three things. First, I was born for Christmas. Christmas can never start too early for me. You could start it in July and I'm right there. Secondly, the Jones family is going to be an okay family. Now I have a mom, a dad, and a sister. Sadly, in 1986, my dad went to be with God. I still have my mom, my sister, and now a brother-in-law, two nephews, a niece-in-law, and a niece-in-law-to-be, and a great-niece. A family who taught me the third lesson. They taught me what true love really is. My friends, that's what love is. It's opening our hearts, our minds, and ourselves, and our being to share, to show, and to express our concerns, our feelings, and our love to others. When we see someone who is hurting and grieving, we share in their pain and grief. When we see someone being abused or neglected, we comfort them. When we see someone being bullied and discriminated, we encourage them. When we see someone who is homeless and hungry, we find them shelter and food. When we see someone who is a refugee looking for safety and freedom, we welcome them to their new, safe, and free homeland. For we all, at one time, were refugees. When we see someone who is lonely, we become their friends and be present in their lives. For my friends, if we are to survive in this world, we must open ourselves and show love. O.T., Betty, and Rebecca Jones did that on August 7th, 1967. They opened their lives and hearts to share their love with and to me. The wise men may not have fire helmets, and we may blow through those stop signs and stoplights thinking they're part of the town decorations, and we may prepare our homes and decorations for the Advent and Christmas seasons, but we know that this newborn babe named Jesus will share his love with and to us. So in this Advent season, my friends, we must prepare the way of Christ by sharing his love with and to the world. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen.